This morning, we're going to be wrapping up our series, Live by the Spirit. I want to remind you that when you are born again, you are born of Him. You are born of the Spirit of God, and He gives us the power to become the sons and daughters of God. We have a new spiritual heritage, a new spiritual DNA. We are no longer bound by that old sin nature from Adam, but now we have become new creations in Christ. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, we're able to live with a new nature. It's not automatic, amen? Listen, we all know this. It's not automatic because we all know we're still capable of living out that old nature. Amen. You see, we're singing to this God who is so great this morning. He has all the power, all the power. He has the power to help us live the right life. Now, here's the thing. He's not going to make you, He's not going to make any of us a robot. That's not what happens when we become a new creation in Christ. He doesn't change us into spiritual robots. No, we still have a free will. And you can still live the old ugly way. Or we can live as a new creation in Christ. We have to live by the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. Allow the Holy Spirit to be in charge, to be in control of our life. Galatians 5:16 tells us, live by the Spirit and we will not fulfill the desires of the flesh. See, those desires, they come to us so naturally and they can produce all kinds of sinful things in our lives. But if we allow the Holy Spirit to lead and guide us, this is what the Spirit will produce in our lives. Galatians 5:22-23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And today we're going to be focusing on self-control. I know that it may not seem like a real big deal, but I'm just going to point out to you that it is the fruit of the Spirit. It's not the fruits of the Spirit, because when we live by the Spirit, the Spirit produces all of these things in our life. Some, maybe we're stronger in one area or another. Maybe part of the fruit comes easier to us than some others. But when we are led by the Spirit, we're supposed to have all of this fruit in our life. You know, the first one is so important, love. Without love, well, you can't really have any of the rest of the fruit of the Spirit. And the last one is really important because without self-control, you quickly lose any of the others. They're bookends that hold it all together. But I'm just telling you, we need all of the fruit of the Spirit together. And when we let the Spirit be in charge of our lives, He brings self under control. There's a lot of talk today about self. I mean, for a lot of people, it's their favorite subject. We could talk about self-actualization or selfishness or self-will or being self-centered or self-fulfillment or self-image or self-reliance, not to mention self-seeking, self-absorbed, self-important, self-indulgent, self-love, self-pity, self-help, self-improvement, self-respect, self-serving. Lots of self. But instead, we're going to talk about self-control. Self being under control of the Spirit. Our desires, our passions, all need to be kept under the control of the Spirit. See, Paul tells us what the answer is. Live by the Spirit and you will not fulfill the desires of the flesh. See, James tells us what the problem is. He says it this way, James 1:14, each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. It's our own desires that get us in trouble without self-control. control. It's how we end up disobeying God, ruining our witness, hurting others, messing up our own life. We need this part of the fruit of the Spirit, self-control. Apart from the control of the Spirit, we all lose control in some way, to some degree. We need the Holy Spirit to help us live a life of self-control. See, some of us, we lose control of our temper. Some of us, we lose control when it comes to our spending. Some of us, no, I'm going to say all of us this time, all of us at some point lose control of our words, the things that we say without the help of the Spirit. Some of us, we lose control of our eating. It's real quiet right now. I've lost control several times at a Mexican food restaurant. But the worst ever was when we took college age and high schoolers to South Padre, and we stayed at the Radisson there on the beach, and they had a restaurant, and one night they had all you could eat fried shrimp. Well, all I could eat was four plates of fried shrimp. And later I sat out on the curb of the street and lost a little of it. And I'm pretty sure that it was a sin of gluttony. And y'all are laughing about my sin here. I don't know what to think about that. It was also not only the sin of gluttony, it was also the sin of being a tightwad. Because, you know, all you can eat, I'm getting my money's worth. You know what I'm saying? That was a big part of the situation there. But seriously, we all struggle in different areas. But without the Spirit, we lose control. Some people lose control when it comes to alcohol or some drug. I'm just telling you that if we're going to live as a new creation in Christ, we can't let self be in charge. Instead, we got to allow the Spirit to be in charge and to control self. You want to be a true follower of Jesus? There's a lot of phony Christianity today. I mean, it's Christian in name only. It's popular. It's really popular to say that you're a Christian. But here's the thing, there's a whole lot of so-called Christians that don't even have a clue what it means to follow Jesus. They don't know the first thing about following Jesus. And the things that Jesus says, they only like a few of them. Luke 9:23, Jesus says, if you go follow him, you're going to come after him. This is what he says. He said to them all, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily and follow me. I'm telling you, the message that a lot of people are preaching and a lot of Christians are propagating is baloney. They want to dress Jesus up and try to make him more marketable to the masses. Because here's what the Savior says. If any man will come after me, he's got to deny himself. And that's not a popular message. But here's the thing. Jesus' message, the Scripture, the Holy Spirit will absolutely transform your life. Amen. Pretending religion doesn't work. Made up religion doesn't work. The message of Jesus here in this verse is plain and simple. If you're going to come after Jesus, you're going to have to deny yourself. You're going to have to tell self no. Amen. You can't let self run your life. You got to deny yourself and you take up your cross, the plan, the purpose of God for your life. And then you can follow Jesus. To live by the Spirit is to stay in tune with the Spirit, to allow him to lead and guide and control us instead of self. Self is under the control of the Spirit. And here's the thing. If he is in control, if the Spirit is in control, we are not. And if we are in control, he's not. We want the control of the Spirit. We want to live by the Spirit. One of the ways that we've been created in the image of God is that he created us with passions and desires. This is amazing. It's one of the ways we're created in the image of God. But without the control of the Spirit, without self-control, those things can quickly turn to or lead us to sin. Proverbs 25, 28 in the NIV says, like a city whose walls are broken down is a man who lacks self-control. Now, unless you understand the biblical history here, it's hard for us to really grasp what this means. I mean, it's a little strange, like a city whose walls are broken down. We don't have walled cities anymore. But like a city whose walls are broken down is a man who lacks self-control. You see, during biblical times, a city without walls was open to attack from their enemies. They were open to daily marauders coming in and stealing. This is why in the book of Nehemiah, when Nehemiah hears that the walls of the city of Jerusalem are broken down, his response to that is, he weeps. It's no small thing. He knows that since the walls are broken down, that means that every day the people are living in distress. They're under attack. There's all kinds of issues that they're facing day by day because those walls are down. He knew what that meant. And so it is with a man who lacks self-control. It leaves us open to attack from the enemy. 1 Peter 5:8 in the NIV, it says this, it starts this way, be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. There's an enemy of your soul. And if you're not self-controlled, if you're not under the control of the Spirit, I want to tell you, it's easy for the devil to find an inroad into your life to come in to steal, kill, and destroy. You see, you can say, I resist you to the devil. But if you don't have self-control in your life, it'll leave an open door for trouble, for heartache, and destruction. Someone asked the great evangelist D.O. Moody, of all the people that you've dealt with, come in contact with, who's given you the most trouble? He said, D.O. Moody, I'm my biggest problem. And you know what? That's right. The biggest problem, the biggest troublemaker that we have, well, we face them every morning in the mirror. We like to think that something or somebody else is our problem, but the truth is our biggest problem is always self. Here's a modern day proverb. If you could kick the person responsible for most of your troubles, you wouldn't be able to sit down for a week. It's just easier. Our pride likes it better if we can think that somebody else is the problem. Like Cain, who was jealous of the blessing of God on his brother's life, so he killed him. Like Esau, who lost control of his appetite. He said, I gotta have some of that soup. And he traded away his birthright for a bowl of soup. You talk about a lack of self-control. But he blamed Jacob. Moses, he lost control because he was frustrated with the people. And he hit the rock when God had told him to speak to it. He lost control. And because of that, he didn't get to go into the promised land. I'm telling you, when we lack self-control, it costs us. See, the same thing happens to people all the time when they lose control and allow the desires of the flesh to control them. There's so often direct consequences. Substance abuse of any kind, doesn't matter what it is, it'll bring an inroad for trouble in your life without self-control. Sexual desires. David lost control. David, this great man of God, not just a great king and great warrior, great man of God. He lost control when he saw Bathsheba bathing. And he committed a great sin. Now, here's the thing. God forgave him. But David suffered heartache and tragedy in his life for decades because of that event. You see, without self-control, it just brings trouble into our life. Another area people struggle with is greed or covetousness, just the desire for things. And the scripture says that covetousness is idolatry. What a terrible God money makes. Another is anger, losing your temper. Proverbs 29:11 says, a fool gives full vent to his anger. A wise man keeps himself under control. Anger, it's so rampant in our culture. It's almost seems like it's embraced and encouraged a lot of the time. But I'm going to tell you that it is an opportunity for the enemy to come in and steal, kill, and destroy. First of all, it'll destroy your witness in a second. It can destroy relationships. And when you're tempted to vent your anger, instead, well, just take a moment and yield to the Holy Spirit. One lady, she kept telling her friends at church, oh, pray for my husband. He's not a Christian. He needs to get saved. Always saying, pray for my husband. But this woman had a terrible temper. And the pastor finally decided he had to talk to her about it. And he told her, he said, I know you're praying for your husband to get saved, but you need to get this right in your life. You need to get control of your temper. And she knew he was right. And so she began to pray and ask the Lord to help her to get this under control so that she could be a good example before her husband. One day her husband is walking down the hall in their home and they had a beautiful lamp and he brushed against it and it fell and shattered and he just knew he was going to get it. But instead she spoke to him gently and she said, that's okay. I know that you didn't mean to do it. And he was so shocked. He said, what happened to you? She said, I've been praying that the Lord would help me get my temper under control. And he said to her, he said, if your Christianity has that kind of power, that's something I want. And it wasn't long until he got saved and gave his life to God. How'd this happen? Because she got herself under control, self-control. You can't do it on your own. It takes the help of the Holy Spirit. Self-control. When things go wrong in your life or in our world, and you have self-control, I want to tell you that's a great witness and testimony of the power of God in our life. But also, we can bring such reproach on the name of Christ without this part of the fruit of the Spirit being evidenced in our life. We need the help of the Spirit every day to have this self-control. It is a great inner strength. It's more important, it's more powerful than any physical strength or mental ability. Listen to me. Proverbs 16:32, better a patient man than a warrior, a man who controls his temper than one who takes a city. Now, a lot of us sitting here right now, you're not sure if you believe that. Well, I just want to tell you, believe the word of God, whether it makes sense to you or not. Because he knows what he's talking about. And in the long run, in the end, better a patient man than a warrior, a man who controls his temper than one who takes the city. Oh no, we celebrate the one that takes the city. Better one who controls his temper. One pastor was at home one day and a man came to his house and he was angry. His son is the one that recorded this story later, but this man was angry and he began to yell at the pastor and accuse him of all kinds of things. And the pastor just sat quietly. He didn't respond. He didn't say a word until finally the man kind of paused and took a breath. And the pastor spoke to him in a soft tone and he said, I don't think that you know all of the facts about this situation, but I would like to explain to you what happened. And he continued, and as he was talking and telling the man what had really happened, the man's countenance began to change. And when the pastor was done, this man said, I was wrong. I'm sorry. And the key here was that self-control that this pastor was able to answer with a soft answer that turns away wrath. We all know what our natural inclination is when somebody is angry at us, especially when they're wrong. We just want to be angry back. And that's how relationships are destroyed. But instead, with self-control, relationships can be reconciled. What a difference it can make in your marriage, your relationship with your kids, your neighbors, your coworkers. The key to proper child discipline is self-control. You don't ever discipline your child when you're angry. You discipline your child because you love them. You do it with self under control. Now, the flip side of that is, well, a lot of people just don't do it. Whether it's inconvenient, or they just, for some reason, you know, they just don't want to do it. Or maybe they're embarrassed to do it if they're around other people. But I want to tell you, the Holy Spirit would have you to discipline your child. Be self-controlled. Don't be like the world. Preacher's meddling, talking about discipline. If you don't discipline, you leave them to ruin. That's what the scripture says. But there's so much anger in our culture today. Road rage, it's everywhere. It's so epidemic. Did you know, when I was 15, I got a job and I bought my first car. It was a 67 Firebird, paid $750, and I got my driver's license while I'm 15. So here's this 15-year-old with a Firebird. That's kind of scary, isn't it? But did you know that I had never heard of road rage? Never heard of it. Now, I'm sure that there were people back then even that got mad driving sometimes, but it wasn't a thing. In fact, pretty much for the next 20 years, it wasn't really a thing. Never heard the term road rage. But even beyond that, hardly ever heard of somebody getting really mad and having an interaction with another driver because they were mad. And now it's every day, everywhere. It's in the news all the time where somebody shot somebody, even kids have been shot. But we all know this, if you drive in DFW, I mean, you get to witness it for yourself every day. And oh, how easy it is for us to get swept up in that kind of anger without the help of the Holy Spirit. The Lord taught me a lesson one day. It's been about, 17, 18 years ago probably. I was driving, had my daughter in the car. And, sometimes you like to think of yourself as being pretty spiritual. But this guy cuts over in front of me. I'm like, okay. And we go a little bit further. I change lanes and he cuts over in front of me again. We go a little bit further and I change lanes again. And he cuts in front of me a third time. And then when I go by him, I'm like, I'm ready to wave him over. Well, he just looked at me like, you crazy nut, and drove off, you know. Praise God. But here's the thing. The Holy Spirit showed me that the enemy of my soul was baiting me. And I do not engage. And every time some driver does something stupid to me, the Holy Spirit reminds me, the enemy's baiting you. I will not engage ever again. No way, no how. And I'm just telling you, though, that we have to have the help of the Holy Spirit or the enemy can get us in trouble, get us in a mess. You know, some people just say, well, you know, temper runs in my family. I get that. It's a generational curse that so many have, but that old sin, it runs down through all the family of Adam. We are all part of the family of God now. We're partakers of His divine nature. We have a new nature. Ephesians 4, 22 through 24. In the NIV, it says it this way. Put off your old self. Again, it's not automatic. You see, you got to put off that old self. You got to say, you know what? I'm not going to be that way anymore. You got to make a decision. I'm not going to be that way anymore. He says, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires. That old nature, those old desires, you got to put that off. Make up your mind. You're going to let the Holy Spirit lead you. Then he says, be made new in the attitude of your minds. You got to change your mind. You got to decide. I'm not living that way anymore. I'm going to live like a spirit-filled, spirit-led child of God. I'm going to allow the Holy Spirit to keep me under control and to put on the new self. What's the new self? It's that new creation in Christ that you are, child of God, created to be like God. Hear this now. You're created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. I hear and see a lot of phony righteousness in the Christian world today. They say, well, I'm righteous by the blood of Jesus. Well, that is absolutely true. But if you live like the devil, that's phony. You put on the new man, created to be like God in righteousness and true holiness. Amen. That's what we want to live in this world. In one area, a lack of self-control will always show up and do damage is our words. James 1:19 says, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. He says, be swift to hear, slow to speak. We need to be quick to listen and slow to speak. He's not talking about talking like a Texan. Slow. He's talking about that we don't just respond immediately. That we don't allow ourselves the mistake of saying something before we think about it. But you know, even the world will say, hey, it's a good idea to think before you speak. I mean, some people, they engage the mouth before the brain. You know what I'm saying? You need to think before you speak. But I really think there's something else here when he says slow to speak. See, if you're really, if you'll just give pause, is something else happening besides thinking about it? You give pause. You give opportunity for the Holy Spirit to help you to know how to respond or if to respond or what the right thing to say is. Slow to speak. And then he says, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man does not work the righteousness of God. You getting mad will never produce what God wants to bring about. In James 1:26, it says, if anyone among you thinks he's religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. If you think you're spiritual, see, some people nowadays, they say, oh, I'm not religious, I'm just spiritual. If you think that you're a spiritual person and you don't bridle your tongue, the scripture says that your Christianity is phony and powerless, and you have deceived your own heart. You got to learn to control our mouths, but let me tell you, we can't do it apart from the Spirit. There's no way that we can do it on our own. James 3:5-8, it says, even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles. Well, we've all seen how great a forest a little fire can kindle, right? Y'all know we had a big fire and smoke blew through here? Hello. We've all seen how great a little fire can kindle. And here's what the scripture says, and the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire by hell. Because when we say the wrong thing, it can do so much harm. If you don't control your mouth, it can start a fire you can't put out. The words of your mouth, in just a moment, can get you fired. The words of your mouth, in just a moment, can get you divorced. The words of your mouth, in just a moment, can build a wall between you and your child that only a miracle from God will be able to tear down. That's the power of our words. How much we need the help of the Holy Spirit when it comes to our words. Then verse 7 and 8, he says, for every kind of beast and bird of reptile and creature of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind, but no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. That's why we always need to yield to the Holy Spirit before we speak. You can't let anger or pride or foolishness take advantage of you. Instead, you yield to the Holy Spirit. Next, I want to talk about this. We need to be aware that there are a lot of things that aren't necessarily sinful in and of themselves. But when we allow the appetites, the desires of the flesh, then they get out of control, then they become sinful. Listen to this verse from 1 Corinthians 6:12. All things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. See, we don't let anything control us. I am thankful for the internet. I'm thankful that right now, people that are sick or for some reason weren't able to be here today, they can watch our live stream and still be ministered to and in a sense, still a part of our corporate worship. I'm thankful for that. And there are a lot of good things about the internet. The internet in and of itself is not sinful. But for so many people, without self-control, the internet becomes a bondage. Whether it is pornography or gaming or something else, so many people get bound up in sin by the internet. One lady spent at least 12 hours a day on the internet. And she would lock her kids in their room so they wouldn't bother her. Somebody heard about it and reported it to the police. And so when the police went, they found the children in a room where there was broken glass on the floor and all kinds of debris and even feces. And the woman was charged with child endangerment. But how crazy is that? There's nothing wrong with the internet, but without self-control, so many end up bound by pornography. So many end up with this obsession with gaming. I've read a number of articles where a young person died from a blood clot after they were gaming for so long that they got blood clots in their legs. What a bondage. We need self-control in our life. How about this one? Money isn't sinful. I've heard so many people misquote the Bible and say things like, money is the root of all evil. Now, if you believe that, just send it to the church and we'll take care of that evil for you. Money is not the root of evil. It's the love of money that is the root of all kinds of evil. That's what the Bible says. Yes, if you love money, if you make a god out of money, the Bible calls that idolatry. And oh, what a horrible god money makes, because it will drive you. It will control you. It'll drive you to your grave. But that love of money is so powerful in our culture, so many. It's just never enough. They're just never satisfied, and they'll do whatever it takes to get more. Out of control. Proverbs 23:4, do not wear yourself out to get rich. Have the wisdom to show restraint. Jesus says you can't serve God and money. You're gonna have to choose. How about food? I already talked about my issue, but food isn't sinful, but when your appetite is out of control, it is. And I'm just going to say again, you know, so often it seems like preachers struggle with this. Maybe it's all the special dinners and get-togethers, I don't know. But I just know there's a lot of preachers that have a hard time with that. But however it happens, here's the real answer. That we allow the Holy Spirit to bring that under control in our life. You know, there are some things, like when you lose your temper, you can see immediate destruction in your life. There are other things, like eating, where you may not see destruction right now, but lacking control in this area of your life, day after day, eventually is going to bring some consequences. The same is true with people that have a problem with wanting stuff. They buy stuff they can't really afford. Somebody got a new phone, I got to have it too. And that just keeps on and on and on until eventually they're in such bondage, debt bondage. How'd this happen? Lack of self-control. All things are lawful for me, but I won't be controlled by anything. You know, some of the greatest people, they end up losing everything because they couldn't control themselves. the great example in the scripture, or sad example in the scripture, of the man Samson. That God gave such tremendous physical power to. And Samson, he was the leader for God's people. For 40 years, he judged Israel and he fought against their enemies. But ultimately, it was his lack of self-control that destroyed him. And you know what? We see this in our culture today with a lot of great athletes or singers or stars, actors, a lot of great people. Maybe, you know, maybe they're super successful in business. But a lot of the time, eventually, their lack of self-control destroys their life. They lose everything. And some of them literally lose their life. So many men of God with anointing and fruitful ministries have lost it all because of a lack of self-control. John Maxwell, in his book, Developing the Leader Within You, he says, the first victory successful people ever achieve or win is the victory over themselves. And the moment that you get victory over self, then you are able to get victory in a lot of other areas of life. It's our biggest obstacle. So I want to encourage you today to get self under control, under the control of the Spirit. That old nature, it'll destroy you. It'll destroy opportunities, and it'll keep you from the life that God wants you to have. So I want to encourage you to make a decision to let the Holy Spirit lead and guide you every day. Let me remind you of this verse again, Romans 8:14. It says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. We got to be led by the Spirit. Invite the Holy Spirit to lead your life. I want you to understand this morning, I'm not talking about, you know, hearing some voice necessarily. I'm talking about that if you will be sensitive to the Spirit, if you don't brush him aside, don't ignore him, but if you'll be sensitive to the Holy Spirit, you're just gonna know inside. Instead of letting your passions get the best of you, if you'll just turn to the Holy Spirit and look to him, you'll know what you need to do or what you need to say. Sometimes he's gonna say, don't say anything. Sometimes he's gonna let you know you just need to walk away. Sometimes he's gonna let you know you need to encourage this person. He's gonna let you know you need to tell this person about your faith and about your testimony, what God's done in your life. He'll lead you, he'll guide you, but we can't ignore him. Instead, we have to yield to him, be sensitive to him. When we live by the Spirit, we have love and joy and peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Stand with me. We're going to pray. I want our prayer partners to come.